Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I love, 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 love all of your pet photos. Thank you so much for sending them to me. They are making me smile. You should see me in here grinning as I page through them on our Facebook page as well as on Twitter. And we don't really have a way to repurpose them on Facebook, but we are retweeting them with our show account. If you want to go and see other people's photos or on Facebook, just page through them. So cute. Your cats, your ferrets, your dogs of all shapes and sizes. I absolutely love them. Although this is kind of funny. Somebody posted on our Facebook page that she thought Penny was a dachshund. Do I sound like the kind of person that I would have a dachshund? Also, I'm pretty sure I've mentioned so many times that Penny's like 75 pounds. Dachshund. I don't know that I've ever even used that word on the radio before. Wiener dog, hot dog, dog. That sounds funny, hot dog, dog. That's weird. I'm not sure where you got that. Sue, I think, was the listener that, maybe she's trolling me. I'll just go with that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook, here on CBS Sports Radio. Our show Twitter is After Hours CBS. And again, producer Chris is retweeting a bunch of your photos. So funny the way that they worm their way into our hearts and they become parts of our family, right? So the photo that I shared with you on social media, just it reminds me of how I picked the perfect dog, but actually she picked me. I don't know if I've ever told you this story before. Maybe I did in a past life on Ask Amy Anything. But I was looking to adopt a dog and I knew I wanted to get at least a part Australian Shepherd because we'd had Aussies during the course of my childhood. We had a couple of them and I love the temperament. And at the time, my mom also had an Australian Shepherd who was bred to be a show dog, but was completely uninterested. And so the breeder then was, you know, trying to find a good home for her. Her name was Jemmy, but she had a really long, you know, purebred kennel name. And so Jemmy became our family's dog, my mom's dog. But whenever I was there, you know, loved to play with Jemmers. She was just a gorgeous blue merle Australian Shepherd, for those of you who are familiar with the breed, long-haired like her dad, and I never worked so hard for a pet's affection in my life. Anyway, she was just absolutely the perfect. They're smart, and they're funny, and they've got the facial expressions, and anyway, so I decided I was going to adopt a dog. I wasn't going to go the kennel route because I know there are so many dogs out there that need adopting, so I started doing my research. And I was all over the internet, and at the time I was at my previous network, so I was in Connecticut, and I found an organization called Shepherds to Love in the Baltimore area, and they had a couple of Aussie mixes. One was an Aussie mixed with a German Shepherd. Another was an Aussie mixed with a Golden Retriever, and I went through the whole process of contacting this Shepherds to Love rescue organization, and I decided I didn't want a puppy, anything close to a puppy, because I didn't have time to be able to train one, and I needed one that was a little calmer than, you know, that puppy energy. And so I decided I would adopt, her name was Sophie, the German Shepherd, Australian Shepherd mix. So I go all the way to Baltimore on a, I think it was a Tuesday. I drive from Connecticut to Baltimore on a Tuesday, and I meet the woman at one of those, on the turnpike on 95, one of those big rest areas, and I sign all the paperwork, and I get in the car, and I take Sophie home. But even before we got in the car, she had the other dog with her, which was the Aussie Golden Mix, and they had only had this dog a month before, so they had just gotten the dog. She had a heartworm. And so she was going through treatment. She was 2.5, so a little bit younger than what I was looking for. But she said to me, why don't you take this dog? They had named the dog Angelica. Why don't you take Angelica and just walk her over there to the median? And she's really sweet. She's actually very calm. She, you know, she's got a really nice temperament. Are you sure you don't want to take her instead? And I said, no, I'm good. I'll take the 5-year-old dog. And, you know, I kind of felt loyalty to her because I'd gone through this process of deciding that I wanted Sophie. So I met Angelica / Penny. Wasn't Penny at the time. I met her, and then I went home with the other dog. And sadly, while Sophie was a great dog, she was extremely aggressive to cats. And they didn't know that at the rescue organization. So the very first night, they just said, kind of be careful because she's got German Shepherds, so you never know how aggressive they are with other pets. And so I had her in my room the first night. We slept, and I opened up the door the next morning, and one of my cats was sitting outside the door. And Sophie went a little bit crazy. She grabbed the cat. She raced downstairs with her in her jaws. I had to pry the dog's mouth open to get the cat out. And it was really tough. My poor cat, she was traumatized for quite a while. I was bleeding. I had, like, you know, one of them, I don't know which one, clawed me or bit me or something. And my whole arm was bloody. And so as much, and, you know, crazy thing was, the dog was so calm after that. Took her for a walk. She sat down next to me the rest of the day, and you wouldn't have known it was the same dog. The cats obviously were hiding. So I had to take her back. And I took her back to Baltimore. I cried a little bit about it. Like, you know, you should have listened the first time. And the woman at the rescue organization said, are you sure you don't want the other dog? And I was a little bit gun shy at this point, but I thought, you know what? She's sweet. And she's a little younger than I want, but the woman said she's really calm. She was great indoors. And she's a really pretty Aussie. Actually, she's shaped like an Aussie, taller than an average Aussie, and her coloring, as you can tell by the photo, is more golden retriever than Aussie, but she has the same thick hair. She's got the eyebrows. You know, she's got the, it's kind of funny, Aussies have no tail. Golden retrievers obviously have long tails. So Penny has a 2-inch tail, and it's like 2 inches, and then it's a bunch of fluff, which she wags with all of her might every time I speak to her. Anyway, I took Penny home, and well, Angelica. I took Angelica home and I quickly renamed her. Actually, my nieces. I asked both my nieces. So my nieces were 8 years younger at the time. They were both at home in school. And I sent them a text. Hey, you know, here's my new dog. What would you like to name her? And they both sent me back really long lists, like 12 to 15 names. And some of them were not doable. And the only name they had in common was Penny. They both had Penny on their list, and they did not do their list together. And so because Penny was the only name on both of my niece's lists, I named her Penny. And for the longest time, both girls thought she named the dog. I didn't tell them. Anyway, so I ended up with Penny, even though I tried to adopt another dog before that. And I cannot even remember my life without this dog. I've had her 8 years now. She's 10 and a half. I can't even remember what life was like before Penny was running it. I mean, if I had known, I'll just tell you this, and then I'll get back to what we're doing. 8 months later, I picked up my entire life. I literally moved. I left a house. I left a church. I left my friends. I left my job. I left the state, and I moved. And it was really difficult. I had to do it mostly on my own. I left my previous network. I started here at CBS Sports Radio. I didn't have a place to live. I didn't have any money because I was still paying for a house in Connecticut. And I was on the road a lot, up and down the road. And if I had known all the stress I would go through trying to pick up my whole life and move it to the New York City area, I never would have adopted a dog. And I am so grateful I didn't know, because my life is so much better having Penny in it. She makes me laugh every single day. She calms me down. There are days when I'd rather not get out of bed, and instead I have to get up and walk the dog, which, you know, sometimes I'm grumble about it, but it's always good for me to get some exercise and to spend time with her. And I mean, she fits my life perfectly. She loves road trips. She goes on errands with me. We still walk almost 3 miles a day, even though she's 10 and a half. And I'm just so grateful. Sometimes it's better for us not to know what's coming down the road, because we would make decisions based on that. And I'm so glad that I didn't know. Anyway, her photo's up on Twitter. Not Angelica, Penny. I can't even imagine calling her that. Here, Angelica. Here, puppy. Anyway, I hope she lives for another 7, 8, 9, 10 years. I love this dog so much. And her photo's up on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Love your pet day, peeps. And also on our Facebook page. Thanks for listening to my story. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. I'll just be honest. I am a huge fan of David Ortiz. I am not a huge fan of what he said at spring training on Thursday. You know, it's funny because when I first saw his photos pop up on Twitter, I was awake most of Thursday. I had an appointment, and so I had to wake up. I didn't really do a lot of sleeping. But I was, you know, I was on the train, and I was looking through Twitter and kind of seeing, you know, what was happening in sports. And I see him holding court, photos of him holding court at spring training for the Red Sox. And I'm like, that's so great. He's fine. He's okay. He survived, I guess, depending on what you believe, he survived an attack on maybe someone else's life, but he got shot and it was serious and he went through extensive rehab and, you know, his whole life changed. But look at him. He's holding court. He's larger than life. He's big poppy again. And he says he's fine. So I was just about to tweet how great it was to see David Ortiz looking like he always did at spring training, like he was large and in charge. Great personality, big smile, one of the all-time great Red Sox, even though he didn't start there. And then I see a tweet with the video pop up of his comments on Mike Fiers. And even though I've listened back to it a couple times, and I'm going to play it for you here in a second, even though I understand in theory what he's saying, the word that he used to describe Mike Fiers is irresponsible. It carries a heavy connotation with it that everybody on this planet, okay, not everybody, 80% of the people on this planet understand the connotation that comes along with the particular word that he used. So this to me is not leadership. And David Ortiz has always prided himself on being a leader, setting a tone. Remember everything that happened after the Boston Marathon bombing? This is the opposite of leadership.
I'm mad at this guy, the pitcher that came out talking about it, and let me tell you why. Oh, after you make your money, after you get your ring, you decide to talk about it? Why don't you talk about it during the season when it was going on? Why you didn't say, I don't want to be no part of? Oh, now. So you look like a snitch. Oof. You know what I mean? Why you got to talk about it after? Why don't you, that's my problem, you know. Why nobody say anything while it was going on?
I agree with David Ortiz. Why didn't Mike Fiers say anything about the Astros stealing signs? If he was so opposed to it when he was with the Astros, why not say anything? And by the way, Fiers has indicated he's going to keep his World Series ring. Okay. Why not? Speak up if you're so opposed to it. And I have the same question for Justin Verlander. You've spent your entire career talking about how you can't stand cheating, and that's something you've never done in your own career, and you do not condone it, and you think cheaters should be punished. And somehow, that all slipped your mind in 2017 when you realized your teammates were doing it. So I agree with him about Mike Fiers. Why not say something internally? Maybe he did. We don't really know that part. Why not come out and say something, not to the media, but to the Players Association? Or go to the league with it anonymously. Whatever it is, why turn it into a big media story? And he's originally the one who launched this investigation because he was a pitcher who was willing to come forward. He did so in The Athletic, but that's how baseball got its first hooks in when it comes to the Astros sign stealing. So I agree with David Ortiz on all of that. But to use the word snitch, if you're a leader, if you're a guy who recognizes the type of impact and influence you have, why would you use that word? People all over the country heard him say that and instantly thought, what? Snitches get stitches. And I'm not, actually, you know what? I'm not even going to give David Ortiz the benefit of the doubt. He knows what connotation comes with that word. He understands what he just said, that Mike Fiers deserves retaliation, that Mike Fiers deserves stitches for being a snitch. He could have said anything. He could have said whistleblower. It's the same exact thing, and yet it doesn't have the same connotation. It doesn't have the same street value to it, if you know what I mean. Again, I'm a huge fan of David Ortiz. He's an icon for the Red Sox and in Boston sports lore. I love what he stands for most of the time. I love the way he attacked the game. He was so good for the Red Sox. The Twins' loss was the Red Sox' gain. He's good for baseball, a larger-than-life personality, but that is irresponsible. You want to be a leader? You want to be someone who, and first of all, it's not like the Red Sox got into trouble because of Mike Fiers. So we're still waiting on the commissioner and in his investigation about the Red Sox in 2018. But if you want to be someone that speaks into clubhouses and locker rooms and franchises, you want to be a guy who can be trusted. This is not what you say. No, Mike Fiers does not deserve stitches, even if you don't like how he did it. He's not a rat. He's not a snitch. You don't have to like that he went to the media. Lots of people have expressed that. I think that was kind of underhanded as well. I don't like that he went to the media first. But a snitch? Come on. I mean, what are we? An Italian mob? Like, seriously. So I was kind of disappointed that he said that. He could have said anything. And he could have said, you know, I have a problem with Mike Fiers and not drop that word. But once you drop that word, that's all anybody hears. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. It's a facepalm Friday as we launch forward into the final day of the work week for most of us, not all of us. I worked weekends for first 15 years of my career, so I'm with you if you work weekends. We still work weekends sometimes, but it's going to be a facepalm Friday because
face palm Friday
in a long time. See, the voice god is really excited about it. And so I have one. I know the guys have been working on some of their own facepalm Friday candidates. I still say Greg Robinson is probably the best example, and Chaka Khan maybe too. But we laughed a bunch about her version of the national anthem on our last show. So we'll spin it forward. Hashtag facepalm Friday if you've got some examples. Oh, and people are still trying to tell me what the spicy dill honor should mean here on the show. Sometimes we get all kinds of off the beaten path. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
You know what's crazy? While we're talking about Loco, when Sheila first called our show and made her pitch for being in the Football Hall of Fame as a fan, they hadn't yet started doing the Ford Hall of Fans. The last 2 years, Canton has included fans in its class. And so now Sheila has a shot. So Sheila, if you are out there, we need to help you at least get nominated, potentially included in the Pro Football Ford Hall of Fans.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yes, there's a chance. In fact, our Kansas City Chiefs fan, who called and spent time with us on the show. Not only did so many of you love her story, she was a retired teacher, Janelle Carbajo, who had been a 31-year season ticket holder with the Chiefs. You loved her story, how genuine she was. In fact, her photos are up on our Twitter and our Facebook. And you voted for her. You got her into the Ford Hall of Fame. She'll be in Canton this summer. And she got to go to the Super Bowl. A free trip to Miami and the Super Bowl to see her own team. Amazing. You did that, After Hours listeners. So maybe we can do the same for Sheila. Something she's very passionate about. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Oh my goodness, your pet photos are making me want to adopt more pets. As it is, three of them is sometimes overwhelming. I don't know what possessed me to think that having three pets by myself was a good idea. Oh my gosh. And now three older pets. I thought having pets in general required patience. Having three pets in their double digits, meaning, you know, two who are 10 and a half and another one. Actually, I have a cat who's about to be 11, a cat who's about to be 18, and then Penny, who's 10 and a half. Yeah, that requires way more patience than what they required when they were younger. Oh my gosh, and they're so set in their ways. I think humans are set in their routines. Nah, pets are the same way. But your pet photos on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page are making me want to adopt another zoo full of pets. They're so cute. Thank you for sharing them with me. So it's a Face Bomb Friday. If you have any examples of something that made you go, oh. Now see, I'm taking professional photos after the show, so I really can't be leaving red marks on my face. But that was a good one. That's the only one you're going to get. Facepalm Friday. I've got a couple of examples that made me want to do a face palm. Not a face plant, but a face palm. So if you want to pitch in and join us, kind of makes the time go faster. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It's easy. Thanks again for all your photos. You can continue sending those on Twitter and Facebook, and Chris is retweeting the ones that we like. Well, no, that's not even true. He's retweeting all of your pet photos, not just the ones that we like. I don't know why I said that. So, a couple things that will hit even as we head through this next 30 minutes. Yes, Facepalm Friday. Still love your reaction to the NFL and this vote that they're trying to push through. I actually feel like this is the opportunity the Players Association has waited for years. They finally have some leverage, a position of power. They've been waiting for this collective bargaining agreement to come up for renegotiation. There's so many things they want. I hope they do not rush, because they've got the NFL exactly where they want it. So that's really important. I don't know that if you look at the concessions that the NFL is giving up in order to push through an expanded playoffs and also the extra regular season game, that it's enough. If it's me, I don't think it's enough. And I've seen some relatively high profile athletes kind of either complain about it or grouse and it's not enough, or, you know, hard no is what JJ Watt said. So I'd love to hear what you think about that. So we're kind of meandering our way through what is turning into a Facepalm Friday heading toward the weekend. I am really excited about where I'll be this time next week. So I'll share that with you too. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Freaky, frivolous, or flat-out flubbed.
Nah.
A look back on the frankly foolish feedback of the week.
Amy, first let me say you're hot. His backup is a broke-down running back. He's a broke-down running back.
Flaky.
I don't know what it was he said, but I disagree with what he said.
Fake news.
You don't need to be on some after-hour thing. You appear to have this major New York bias.
Facetious.
These guys are almost as tall as where the hoop is. It's no skill. It's a height.
Fubard.
You called me, I was illusional.
She turned around and gave that big booty a slap, and he got low, 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 low.
It's time for Face Palm Friday.
Well, that was a bit of a walk down memory lane. Wowzers. We've cut over a lot of ground with a lot of peeps in the last 7+ years. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Welcome to your Face Palm Friday. It's been a while since we've done a Face Palm Friday, but I feel like we have some pretty good candidates. And there are so many wild, I think, unbelievable reactions to the Astros sign-stealing mess. There's a lot of different ways we could go there. But the one that strikes me and makes me just roll my eyes is this Pennsylvania Little League that has decided to remove the Astros as one of their team names. Okay, I know we live in a nation where political correctness is sometimes more important than actually being correct. If you're politically correct, it doesn't matter if you're actually correct. But this seems to me to be taking it to a bit of an extreme. First of all, I don't know how many of these kids in Little League recognize what's going on with the Astros. So let's just assume some of them do. But this Little League director has decided that he's going to send a very clear message to about the 4,000 or so players that participate in his Little League. The Astros are suspended. That's what he said. He's the head of this particular district of the PA Little League. The Astros are suspended. I mean, what? Are the kids who end up getting picked to be on the Astros or the what? I don't even know how they do it. In our Little League, it was kind of luck of the draw. It was like random choice which team name you would end up with, or it was a particular coach that had the same name every year. But even if they are named the Astros, what are they going to get picked on in the schoolyard? They're going to have their hat stolen and stomped on. Oh, or wait, even worse. By wearing the team name Astros, all of a sudden, everyone else in the Pennsylvania Little League is going to assume that team is using technology to steal signs. Oh my goodness. This to me goes over the top. But according to Bob Bertone, part of the pledge for their Little League is, I will play fair and strive to win. Our kids emulate and idolize major league players. I don't think we as an organization should be idolizing teams that have decided not to play by the rules. Okay. A, sign stealing is as old as the game of baseball itself. As long as you aren't using technology, steal those signs. I remember when I was a kid in junior high playing softball on my high school team, we were always looking for tips and you know, kind of like ways that we could follow the patterns and figure out what signs were being passed in by the third base coach or used by the catcher. But also, even if you think the Astros all deserve to be suspended, which is, you know, a whole different conversation we've been having, how about have these little leaguers wear the Astros jerseys and hats proudly, because they're going to do it the right way. Without cheating, without stealing signs, using monitors, whatever. It's just, it seems like it's so far over the top and unnecessary. Yeah, your kids can do it the right way. But nope, the Pennsylvania Little League District is dropping the Astros. They're not just suspending it, they're just dropping them out of the league. Oy. That, to me, is a facepalm Friday. But not the only one. The Orange County Register, two little league communities in Southern California, also banned the Astros for the upcoming season. But I think, to me, that was more about the fact that Orange County is close to, well, Orange County, the Dodgers, you got it. It's Chavez Ravine. Lots of Dodgers fans there. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio.
Facepalm Friday.
Yeah. I've got more, don't you worry. But Chris and Dave, they've researched some candidates for Facepalm Friday as well.
That we have. I have two quick ones, one from the sports world, one from not.
You have two.
We will start with former A's pitcher, current Brewers pitcher, Brett Anderson, who told The Athletic why he knows that the A's weren't cheating back when he was on the team. Because, one, this is a quote, "I don't know if they could afford it. And to relay bleep from 300 yards away in the video room, what were we going to do? Get some vendor to throw popcorn up in the air or something? It's too bleeping far away to relay something." He then joked that the only way for Oakland to communicate would be through the ballpark's decaying infrastructure. "If the lights go out, it's a curveball," he said. "If there's a sewage backup, then it's a fastball."
Oh, yeah, the Coliseum's notorious.
So Brett Anderson, taking a little shot at his former team, is a facepalm Friday. And then we have a special trip out to Ohio, where a 36-year-old woman was arrested last week when she repeatedly called 911 to complain that her parents had cut off her cell phone service. Officials in Stark County arrested Saloni Katarpal of Jackson Township after she called the regional emergency dispatch center demanding that police come to her home, and authorities didn't know what phone she did use to make the calls, but dispatchers told her to call 911 only if there was an actual problem. However, she reportedly called back 2 hours later, insisting that she felt a lack of a working phone was a legitimate police matter. Police noted that she was, quote, belligerent during her phone calls, to the point that officers decided to arrest her on charges of disrupting the public service, fourth-degree felony. She was released on a $2,500 bond and is due back in court on February 27th.
Facepalm Friday.
You ever heard, talk to a police officer, heard some of the stories they have about people who called 911? Oh my gosh, I could not be a 911 operator because, and I know there are some serious calls too, but some of the stuff that people call in with, I don't know if I could keep sarcasm out of my responses. I don't think that I could. All right, so Chris has got a couple for Facepalm Friday. Voice God agrees. Dave, what about you?
I only brought one to the table so far.
Well, I mean, we know Chris is an overachiever.
Yeah. Something like that. So there's an actual website that's been created for a gentleman whose name is Jeff in Prairie Village, Kansas. And apparently he wants to pay someone $25,000 to find him a girlfriend. He feels that he can't find one who's suitable for himself on his own. So he's now soliciting anyone.
I mean, it is tough out there these days.
I mean, I believe that, but he's gone to the lengths of having his friends help him create this. It's a very elaborate website. I have it pulled up right now.
So it's his own personal dating website.
Essentially.
Huh.
But he's implored, his friends have given, like, reviews of him on the bottom.
Oh, yikes.
And it's like, it has their pictures and their names. It's pretty wild. So he's literally going to pay someone $25,000 because that's the amount he added up, the amount of money he felt that it would take to get to know someone and spend on dates until you became in an official relationship. So the person's only going to get paid
$25,000.
I don't know what kind of dates he's going on.
Whoa.
But that's the amount of money someone will get paid if they actually find someone for him that he eventually actually dates and they're in an official relationship.
So he's going to pay one of his friends, whoever finds him a girlfriend. What happens if he spends a lot of money on one girl and it doesn't work out? Then does he get his money back?
I don't think there's like terms and conditions at the bottom of the website. I haven't done a deep enough dive into the terms and conditions of this thing. But no, you could, like, anyone, you could go to the site right now and be the person who finds that person for him if you want that money. It doesn't have to just be his friend. It could be one of us.
So here's the issue, though. You get a girl to go along with your scam, and she pretends, and you get the $25,000, and then she splits.
That's a good idea.
There's no doubt that someone's going to come up with that.
Let's go find this guy in Kansas.
I'll split the money with you if you will pretend to be this guy's girlfriend for a while. Because I'll just tell you, I've had people try to get to know me because their friends dared them they couldn't get a date with me or get my number. I mean, if it's happened with me, then of course it's going to happen there. That's like inviting all kinds of scams. Yikes. But you know what? That's the world we live in. Have you seen the number of ridiculous dating / engagement / marriage reality TV shows out there? Love Island, Bachelor in Paradise. I mean, the regular Bachelor and Bachelorette. How about 90 Day Fiancé? How about Love is Blind, where you never see the person that you marry until after you get married? What? Who in the world thinks that's a really good idea?
Well, I clicked the... I'm sorry to interrupt, but I clicked on the terms and conditions, and I'm glad that I did.
You are?
Female must exclusively date Jeff so-and-so for 365 consecutive days, and only Jeff. And at that point, apparently he'll make 5 payments of $5,000 to said person.
It's not worth the money.
As a finder's fee... And a big thank you.
Although, if he's going to wine and dine you and spend all that money on you, I mean, there are women out there that would take that. Like, it's not me. I wouldn't waste the time. But I'm also not, you know, just out of college and looking for someone to spend all this money on me. I generally am okay with, you know, being equitable if that's how it goes initially when you meet someone. Although I also don't mind if a guy was to pick up the check, then he could pick up the check. But I think that is still, it's an invitation to get scammed out of your rear end and your $25,000. Huh. It's crazy. Yup. See what happens when we start investigating the population at large.
Facepalm Friday.
Hashtag Facepalm Friday. We need to go back to loving your pets. That's all I have to say. 855-212-4227. On our Facebook page, lots of you sending photos of your beloved felines and canines and even guinea pigs and ferrets. I mean, I've got friends who have birds, so you know what? Whatever works for you. And then let's see. Our Twitter is A-Law Radio, and Chris is retweeting some of your photos for Love Your Pet Day. My pet pick is from the happy place that Penny and I share. We both happen to love the same happy place. She is in heaven. Well, you know what? She's in heaven in the sand, but she's also in heaven in the snow. So the dog just likes to roll in stuff. And I guess those are two safe options, relatively safe options. But yeah, she also loves it when it's really cold. And on Friday in my neighborhood, the temps with the wind chills are supposed to be pretty close to zero. So she'll be again in heaven. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We've got not only our pet picks, but if you want to submit your candidates for Facepalm Friday, that is fantastic. This weekend, 2 full days of college hoops on CBS. Let's see if our PR department got this right. A Saturday triple header begins at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Tennessee at 13th ranked Auburn. Then a Sunday afternoon doubleheader, including Big East action between St. John's and number 16 Seton Hall. Notice how these numbers are different. Followed by 7th ranked Maryland meeting number 25 Ohio State. So you've got SEC, Big East, also Big Ten. The march to the tournament is on CBS coming up on Sunday, 3 weeks until Selection Sunday. And then, of course, Selection Monday for the women follows right after. It's nearly that time where we immerse ourselves in brackets and predictions and bets. And we talk about Vegas and we watch college basketball for 4 days in a row without doing anything else. So good to have you on board a Facepalm Friday. And we're cruising toward the weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost.
And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.